Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want to lose. I want to win!
I need professional help.
Sports Betting Weekly.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Sports Betting Weekly.
I want to win!
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. Another Saturday morning. Another ton of opportunities on the board to win some bets, play some action, make some wagers, and to always be cashing on second half Chaz. We have an educational show today. No other way to describe it. Worked hard this week, made a lot of phone calls, got a lot of people involved in the show. We're going to listen to those calls. And really, it turned out to be a very educational show. If you want to give us a call at 646-929-1298, 646-929-1298, as always, at SB Weekly on Twitter. And don't forget the email, show at sportsbettingweekly.com. Now, let's do a little recap of what we've got going this weekend. Of course, the Masters. And though we've got someone with a fairly good size lead, the sports books give you many opportunities to continue to wager on the golf tournament, and we'll go over that with our golf expert, Sloppy. UFC 64, it actually is starting here in just a little bit, and that will be the Poland version of UFC, and we'll have our main UFC expert, Billy V, on in a little bit. And, of course, baseball's in full swing. We had our home opener for the Padres, an extra-inning loss to the Giants this week. But we're going to talk with Tommy, an Inner Circle member, who learned how to wager in the hard streets of New Jersey and now does pretty well for himself and is going to cover some of that Major League Baseball run line parlays for us. So, yeah, the UFC is pretty exciting. If you've followed us with Billy V the last few weeks, you know his backstory is he's just a buddy of ours. We've known the guy a long time. He's big in the UFC. He does a lot of efforts ahead of time to watch the fights on YouTube, checks out UFC.com, does a lot of research, doesn't wager, though. And it worked out very well for our listeners the last few weeks because we just kind of listened to what he says and then we translated a little bit. And an example I always mention is, at the beginning, he did not even know that they offered the will-go, won't-go on the rounds, which for us is what we call the over-under of when the fight's going to end. That tends to be, for me anyway, one of the easiest ways to bet UFC because of the fact that you're not dealing with having to worry about who wins the fight if you can find a fight where it's a good fit for the will go, won't go, you also get much better odds. Minus 120, minus 130 is really usually the range that they're in. And what we're dealing with when we have the fighters themselves, it could be as much as, you know, minus 500 or minus 475. And that is it's a tough way to make a buck because you've got a lot of risk for a very little return on your investment. With Tommy, we're going to be talking some money line parlays, and money lines and run lines are the best way to bet baseball when you've got those pitchers that are like the UFC fighters and they're minus 400 or minus 375. So we're going to go over that card as well. And then, again, Sloppy has already got a winner, it looks like, in the Masters. He made his bets early in the week, and we're going to go over that with him. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Sports Betting Weekly.
At championshipfootballs.com, we offer a 100% money-back guarantee on every single souvenir football that we sell. It's simple. the coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. There's nothing worse than trying to find the right gift for someone, whether that special gift is for a Ravens fan or a Packers backer. Maybe Gramps is a lifelong Giants supporter, or your friend lives in Seattle. Know a member of the Spartan Alumni Association? Is there a better Father's Day gift for a Florida State fan? Send them the coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. Sorry, we can't help you if you follow the Buffalo Bills or the San Diego Chargers. If you're a New Mexico State or a Tulane alumnus, not much we can do. After all, it's not pretty close to winningfootballs.com. It's championshipfootballs.com. The coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed.
Hey, it's Mo from the Mo Radio Show. If you're betting on football but not winning as much as you would like, then you really need to start using the data from sixbetsagame.com. I've been talking with Second Half Chaz every week for a year now, and the information he has given the listeners on my show has been pretty amazing. Whether it was college football or the NFL, week in and week out, the sixbetsagame.com data isolated betting opportunities that made me money too. These are not picks or predictions based on some inside information. Like all those scams that are out there, sixbetsagame.com focuses on giving you historical data on first quarter lines as well as first half and second half against the spread records. So if you're one of those few bettors that actually wins each week, this data will help you win even more. This is data that simply is not available anywhere else in the world, and you can get it exclusively at sixbetsagame.com. Sure, the data helped me win, but listen to this. They paid for the entire sixbetsagame.com website with their football winnings from last season. How many of those so-called information services can tell you that? It really is true when they say you will start winning more bets now. Sixbetsagame.com, unless you like losing.
Hi, it's Second Half Chaz from Sports Betting Weekly. And you know I spend a lot of time on the internet, especially during football season. And if you're like me, you know it's very hard to find any sports talk worth listening to. That's why I have the Mo Radio Show app on my phone. Whether it's his connections with locker room insiders or the way he covers stories like no one else will, it really is the only show I listen to all the time. Heck, now that Vicky has signed up for her fantasy league at work, she's hooked too. You can catch the Mo Radio Show live, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, at MoRadioShow.com. Or listen to the podcast whenever you want, 724, with the Mo Radio Show app available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. The Mo Radio Show app, download it today.
Now it's time. Rock on.
The Mo Radio Show.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. I'm Second Half Chaz. We are looking at this weekend's wagering opportunities on the big board in Vegas and down there at the Caliente Sportsbook in Mexico. We're going to get right into the UFC first because it's an early card. They are in Poland, fighting in Poland, and the big fight is Gabriel Gonzaga versus Mirko Krokop-Filipovic. And as always with the UFC, I never, ever want to have a disclaimer on how I'm pronouncing the names because it's a battle. Got to love those nicknames. So let's get right out and talk with our Billy V, UFC expert. Head out to the Caliente Sportsbook Hotline. We've got on the line Billy V, our UFC expert. Billy, how are you?
We're doing great this morning there, Mark. How's everything on your end?
Doing well. Now, listen, I have a question for you. Last week, the fights were early. It was fight night. And with the Final Four, they went off early in the morning out of Virginia, I think it was. And there was a controversial fight, which for me, because I hopped on the card late because we had the show, kept me from having a perfect day. Otherwise, your tips from just the betting standpoint ended up would have been 5-0. I'm talking about the fight where the guy practically bled to death and got the decision. Did you watch that fight?
It was crazy. I'm not sure if the judges used the CompuBox numbers, meaning how many strikes are landed, how many significant strikes are landed. And I almost wanted to chalk it up to one of the judges just wrote down the wrong thing on the card and and maybe it's just pride getting in the way and he didn't want to admit it. But I really like the way La Quinta stood up for himself and said, you know, F everybody, I fought my ass off in here. I thought that was a cool thing for him to do to show that he, you know, I mean, he got the win, and he got the win, and that's the end of it. You know, the judge.
Well, no, there was, if that first round was 30 seconds longer, he doesn't make it out of the first round. But he did. And then I heard them talk about his trainer saying, hey, it just counted as a round. And that's exactly what he did. He won the second and third rounds, but the beating he took in the first round was just so massive that you wouldn't think anybody could overcome that in a decision.
It's not the first time it's happened. There's a lot of notable fights where guys have bled all over the other guy and won the fight. And that's the cool thing about MMA. I mean, it's not who's the bloodiest. It's the point system when it goes to the judges' scorecard. Significant strikes, takedowns. You know, you can win a fight on a few takedowns because it adds points. And, you know, you could take the guy down and bleed all over him and still win. So.
No, and they made a great point that the cut was below his eye, because in boxing, you know, when they split open your eyebrow, you're done because you can't see. The blood's bleeding your eye. You're trying to wipe your eye. And for him, it didn't even faze him. He just kept – and I give him credit. He just fought marvelously for the last two rounds, and they treated it the way they treated it, and he got the decision. So you've got to give him all the kudos. But when we talked last week and then I watched the fights afterwards – and I went on to some of the websites, Billy, I really kind of picked up on some of the things that you've been talking about. Now, remember, when it comes to UFC, to say I'm a novice is an understatement. You know, I've been at a few times just having fun at the sandbar when we're down there. And again, you know, it's usually the same old guys. We've known each other a long time. You know, it doesn't really matter who's happening on the screen because we're having a good time, and half of the time I don't even know what their names are. And this week I can't even pronounce half of the names because they're over in Poland, and I'm not quite sure how that works. Do they all take the same plane? You know, how do you get a whole group of boxers over to Poland?
Well, it looks like there's guys from France flying in. There's a guy from Taipei. Looks like a Thai boxer. He's going to be fighting the guy from France, so... There's a great mix of people from all over the world all flying into Poland to, you know, to get that W.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about... Yeah, no, I saw that one of the main headlining fights was a lady fight. So what I wanted to talk about this week for our audience who either, A, is already watching UFC or maybe even betting UFC, is just some of the things that I've learned. I figure... Maybe I'm not the only one that doesn't know it. As we've talked about already, a lot of people didn't realize that they have this whole will-go, won't-go wager that you can make on every fight, which is how many rounds the fight will last. But over the course of the weeks we've spoke, you've talked about the weight classes. And what I wanted to find out today a little bit is when you're doing your research, and again, the best part, Billy, is you're not betting. You're just doing your research for the entertainment and the knowledge aspect. Give us a kind of rundown on how you do it, how you look at what site you go to, where you find the tape on these guys. Give us a little rundown of what it takes for you to kind of learn about a card.
Well, there's no shortage of videos on YouTube. Pretty much every fighter that you want to research, you can find some little snippet of them on YouTube. And that's a good source. And then, of course, and all of the MMA Junkie, and then you got MMA and the UFC.com, and they always have a good things to put out. But, yeah, if you want to look at the card, you want to look at the weight classes, because these guys that are smaller, like I said before, I've said it again, they just don't have enough strength to knock each other out. Submissions, yes. But a lot of these guys just don't have the strength or power to hit the guy hard enough to knock him out. And that's just the way it is. So everything has to line up perfectly for it to happen. You have guys that can knock other guys out that are in those smaller weight classes, but there's not as many as in the heavyweights. If you watch a heavyweight fight, you pretty much know it's going to be over fairly quick. somebody's gonna get knocked out. And I think that's why Cain Velasquez hasn't fought in the past year and a half, just because nobody wants to fight the guy.
One of the things that I was shocked about is you mentioned the straw weight. Is that what you called it, the lightest
weight?
Yeah,
Demetrius Johnson we were talking about. He's 125 pounds. Now, of course, he makes that weight after losing a bunch of weight, and when he steps in the ring, he probably weighs about 135, 140. But he cuts that weight to get down to 125 to make weight. That's pretty impressive.
No, I mean, that really, and you hear about that with wrestling, but golly gee, you hear about that with jockeys, too. I mean, he's in Lafitte Thin Kai range, weight-wise. And what do they go out max end on the big guys?
The big guys, the maximum they're allowed to weigh is 265 pounds. They got to come in under 265. I think there's like a little wiggle room there, maybe 266 or 267 if he ate an extra hamburger that morning. But pretty much Alistair Overeem, Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir ballooned up to 165 when he fought Brock, and now he's fighting down around 230. And I'm a big Frank Mir fan. A lot of people probably don't like Frank.
So you meant 265. You said 165.
I meant 265.
So
yeah.
30-something pounds difference?
Yeah. And Cain Velasquez, I don't think he weighs much more than 230 or 240. He is, you know, a stud. And he brings it. And I think the tallest fighter was Stefan Straub. I think he's like, they call him Hightower. He's like 7 feet tall, 250 pounds, 240 pounds, big old boy. Yeah. So, but the weight classes where they start knocking each other out is like the middle weight class. Like anything where Weidman is fighting, you know, Weidman's a champ. He's knocked out, you know, Anderson Silva. He's knocked out a few other guys. You get down to the weight class below that, and these fights tend to go to the over. You know, they tend to, and I'm kind of interested to see what your over is this week, because I realized on one of the fights that you said that the over was actually in the third round, which is like, that only gives the guy 2 minutes and 30 seconds to the end of the fight for the person betting.
Right,
they
right.
They get all the way to the third round, and that's because these odds makers know that these smaller fighters, and the girls too, you know, on any girl fight, really, unless it's Rousey fighting, a lot of these fights are going to go three rounds.
Right, right.
And that's why your odds will be way up there, in my opinion.
And then when I was on the website pulling the information to talk to you this week, and this is for the from Poland, it's UFC Fight Night 64.
And that'll be
They had another link, and I clicked on it, and it was Bellator and on their mixed martial arts. So you said that you knew a little bit about the Bellator guys.
Yeah, a lot of guys that make their name in the Bellator get their chance, you know, to come to the UFC, and a lot of guys that kind of drop out of the UFC and don't have what it takes, but maybe there's a political reason between Dana and one of the fighters that they don't fight for the UFC, so they go over to Bellator. You know, they'll be happy to sign a guy up to fight. People get injured, they need somebody to fill in, you know. So, like Donald Cerrone, you know, he fights, and then he's like, all right, send me another one as soon as you get one, and 2 weeks later, he's fighting again.
Right.
So, but there's some good fights this weekend. We got Gonzaga and Mirko Krokop. These are two, God, warriors. They both have knocked people out and been knocked out. Gonzaga is a big old brute from, I think he's from Brazil, over that way. And then Krokop, of course, I think he's from Czechoslovakia or something like that, or somewhere in Russia. And he's known for kicking people in the head and knocking them out. And Gonzaga is just an animal. I mean, this is going to be a vicious fight.
You just like you said, this is the main event. It goes off at 4:30 Eastern, so that's 1:30 West Coast time. And it's a five-round fight, but the will-go, won't-go set at 1.5 rounds. So they are not expecting it. And it's even at 1.5, so it doesn't really matter which way you go, the money's going to be the same. It's minus 120 either way. But one and a half rounds.
With two veterans like this, these are two guys that have been in the ring against the who's who of, I mean, all the names that we've been mentioning tonight, with the exception of Cain Velasquez. I don't think Krokop or Gonzaga has had their shot of Cain yet. Incidentally, I was watching some old tape the other day, and I saw Cain Velasquez's first fight. And I don't mean to be a big, you know, on my soapbox for Cain tonight, but back then, they didn't even know how to pronounce his name. They were pronouncing his name Cayenne, and I got to laughing because K-Flow was calling that fight, and nobody knew anything about this guy, and he just came on the scene and has been the dominant figure, and I really can't wait to see him again to watch him fight. But as far as Gonzaga goes, I think him and Krokop are going to feel each other out quite a bit in that first round. Krokop is not known to be a quick starter, and why they've got this going only a round and a half, they must think Gonzaga is just going to go in there and take it to him. But
yeah, well,
he's got to go five rounds.
Yeah, the Mirko Flipovic guy is he's an underdog, and Gabriel Gonzaga is a pretty good size favor.
No, it's just because Krokop is like 40 some years old. Like he's probably 45 or 46. He could be older than that even. He's an old, like he's like the old bulldog, you know, or the old pit bull in the back, you know, the chained to the fence, you know, and you let him out every once in a while. And that's Krokop, man, because he's a force to be reckoned with. He's ex like SWAT team top. That's why I'm calling. Yep. They call him Krokop.
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah. Yep, that's what they're saying.
It's all coming together now.
The question I
have
for you.
I would take
the
over. I think these guys are going to feel each other out the first round. I don't think anything's going to happen halfway through the second round. I think you take the over on that one. You might just put some money in your pocket, especially. With
well, you know, it makes sense if you think about it because you know you can go through a 5-minute round pretty quick, just kind of feeling people out. And if you can get to the first round, you're 2.5 minutes away from winning money, you know?
And you can bet the Krokop's corner is gambling on the fact that Gonzaga is going to go full bore, and he might just wear himself out in the first round, and then they might just drag him deep into the second round, and cardio might have an effect on the two of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're fighting at elevation. You know, I don't know what Poland's like. I don't know what the weather's going to be. All those other things. When you fly, you know, how you get, you know, get all discombobulated in your nasals and all that. So all these things are going to have a factor, and I do not see this fight ending quickly. If it does, it'll be one of those, you know, oh, my God, did you see that one? But if I were a betting man, I would bet on the over. I think they're going to feel each other out, and Krokop's corner is going to try and drag Gonzaga deep into this fight because they got 25 minutes. You know, it doesn't have to be over in 5 minutes.
Well, no, and again, if you're looking to win a fight and you can get the guy winded, then that's to your advantage. It totally makes sense. You mentioned, you know, where these guys come from. How important is that in terms of their style based on where they learned the fighting techniques?
Yeah, well, a lot of these guys were, I mean, no offense to anyone in Brazil, but they always show how these guys come from a underprivileged background, you know, where they came in and slept on the mat at night and did everything they could just to get their shot. I don't know if Gonzaga fits that bill, but he certainly comes from a jiu-jitsu background, and he's hungry, and he's been fighting in the ring for years. I mean, he's fought all the big names. I think he even fought Chuck Liddell. Fighters that have now retired, and he's still in there, you know, taking these guys on. I don't think he suffers from any major injuries. I don't know what's kept him out of the ring for so long, but I don't think I've seen Gonzaga fight in over a year and a half, 2 years.
Well, between them, they have almost 70 fights.
Yeah. Krokop's been around for forever. I mean, like I said, he's fought the who's who. He's been knocked out by the who's who also. I mean, he had a knockout where he got knocked out and he fell on himself and his leg was backwards when he fell on the ground. And the black guy, what's his name? The referee, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, Herb Dean had to pull his leg out from under him because he was knocked out like a folded lawn chair, and his leg was all folded up underneath him the wrong way.
Oh, man.
It was just really hard to look at. You can just see his knee, like, struggling to keep his leg together. It was just really, it just folds him up like a lawn chair.
No, it can be, you know, and I talk about it every week. You know, Vicky had one little taste. Vicky will put up with a lot of stuff because, you know, I've got that watch every game box. So, you know, you go to watcheverygame.com, you get one of these boxes, you can see everything. You get every fight, every event. But she'll put up with almost anything. I mean, she let me watch Easter Sunday. I got to watch girls basketball, but she saw one round, and it was a pretty brutal round of the one of the fights.
Well, A few weeks back.
I don't remember what fight it was, but that was it. It was done. Because it can be. It can be just a brutal, brutal sport. There's no doubt about it, you know?
Yeah, I really don't have a lot of information on this card this week. But as a rule, if you got a good card going where the fighters, a lot of these fighters are in the lower weight classes, I'm noticing, a lot of times it's good to bet the over on those if that's what you're kind of focused on rather than having to bet on a particular fighter. Because let's face it, in MMA, anything can happen. A flying elbow, a flying knee, a liver shot, anything could end a fight very quickly, a submission. There's a girl fight that I'm kind of interested in seeing. This gal that was in the top five from the Ultimate Fighter show where they were all fighting for their chance to be the champ in the strawweight division. She's fighting this week, and that should be a good fight. She's a finisher, and it might be smart to take the under on that one.
Is this the Calderwood-Moroz fight?
I think that was the one. Here, let me look at the thing again. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you mentioned to me is when you do your research and you're on UFC.com and you dig a little deeper into the different fighters, you can kind of see when you've got somebody that's kind of new because they don't have any stats for UFC. And that was really interesting to notice, you know?
Yep. There's Joanne Calderwood and Myrna Moroz. Both of them have not had a loss. But the only difference is that Moroz does not have any stats. Like we just talked about. So my money's on Calderwood. She's a finisher. I've seen her finish gal. She's aggressive. She's really is a mixed martial artist. She doesn't try to do that whole wrestling thing. She gets in there and she gets after it.
Yeah, so now here's the thing. From a gambling standpoint, she is such a huge, she's one of the hugest favorites I have seen in a while. She is -575. So if you want to win $200, you got to give him $1,000. That's how big of a favorite it is. So that's one of those fights where I say, you know, maybe you want to look at the will go, won't go, because that's at -110 over 2.5 or under 2.5. So again, 3-round fight, and it's 2.5 is the will go, won't go number. So basically what they're saying is this fight going to go the whole way? Well, if you like her as a finisher, then maybe you've got a chance that it's not going to make it to 3 rounds.
So the midway point of the fight is
no, no, 2.5 rounds of the three. They're saying that this fight will go at least 2.5 rounds.
Hmm. And is it good odds if you make it go all the way? Because if it's going to get, in my opinion, if a fight goes to the third round, it's pretty much going to go the distance. Like, once you get a couple of minutes into the third round, usually the fighters have kind of resigned themselves to the fact that this was going to go to a decision.
Right, and they're trying to not do anything to beat themselves, basically.
And it's sad, too, because a lot of these fighters do fight not to lose instead of fighting to win, instead of trying to do that move that's going to win the fight and take it out of the judges' hands, which we saw last week. you know, you never know who's going to win. It could look like one guy's going to win, and the judges could have it going another way.
Yep. And on that one card, I mean, they were close, you know. The points are 1 or 2 points either way. It really is an opinion, you know.
So my question is, if it goes longer than the second and a half round, which is the bet, if you bet on the over, what is your odds on winning that?
Well, then it's you got to give them $110 to win $100. If you don't think it's going to go, if you think Calderwood is going to knock her out earlier, it's $130 to win $100. But to win $100 with Joanne Calderwood as it is, you got to bet almost $600. And that, to me, you know, like you said, anything can happen. Most people that are 6-1 underdogs aren't supposed to even be in the ring.
Yeah. Well, that's just the thing. That's just the thing. This girl's an unknown, Mariana Moroz. Nobody knows much about her. I didn't do much YouTube research on her. I apologize for that. But she's 5-0, and Joanne is 9-0. And so neither one of these gals have lost a fight. Now, what does that mean? That means they could both be tentative. They could get in there and feel each other out for a whole round. So now we're getting into the second round. And, you know, if she doesn't make it happen in the second round, boom, our over is almost good as gold.
Right.
So you can look at it that way just as easily. But in my opinion, this Calderwood girl is going to take it to her and make a statement. She really wants to move up the ranks. And I think she has more to lose than the gal that's 5-0 from, I didn't even say where she's from. Okay, hold on.
Well, I think that was so funny what you brought to my attention. When you're on UFC.com and you're doing your research, some of these guys didn't even have pictures of them yet. You know? So
he's talking out of a place called Volnogorsk, and I can only assume that's somewhere in Poland. So, yeah, I got to go with as long as, you know, our...
actually, it's in the Ukraine, Billy. That is your Sports Betting Weekly Geography Lesson of the Week. Volnogorsk is in the Ukraine. Yeah. All right. So as always, you know, we appreciate you coming on the Caliente Sportsbook Hotline to talk UFC. Again, last week was a lot of fun. I know there's a big card coming up. Another pay per view. The pay per views always, as you know, get those bigger fighters a little more fun, and of course, they don't start at 8:45 in the morning our time. So, until next week, we'll talk to you then, Billy.
Take care.
Bye, buddy. And it's so cool to listen to the calls with the notes in front of me and go back and kind of make sure that I've got my action. Now, this fight. All the fights we talked about, they're on TV, but their pay-per-view events, when they do the pay-per-view, and it's 186, I think, is the next one. Don't quote me on the number. That's when that Watch Every Game box is without a doubt the coolest invention in the history of boxes. So you want to go to watcheverygame.com, and you can just pick up the box, and you'll never have to worry about, do I have to go out? Don't hesitate to have the guys come over to your place. They bring the beer, they bring the food, you supply the event, and it's a win-win for everybody involved. All right, so we're going to slide over now and talk to Sloppy. It's a little bit of our Masters talk. I want to remind people, if you are going down from San Diego County to Caliente, Pueblo Amigo Shopping Center for the Sportsbook, and you think Gonzaga is going to come out strong, he's plus 140 to win by knockout, TKO, or disqualification. And Krokop, if he's going to win by decision, you can get 980 for 100. So it's almost a 10-1 that it goes to the judges and Krokop wins. So next we're going to slide over and listen to what Sloppy has to say regarding this week's Masters. All right, we're going to go out to the Cali Comfort Barbecue Hotline. We've got a
rare treat today because we have our golf baseball Sloppy expert on the phone. But Sloppy, we're going to really kind of focus on golf this week, even though baseball is up and running. Actually, Vicky was at the Padres home opener tonight. She's just getting back because they lost an extra innings. But we're going to focus on golf because there's a minor little event going down there in Augusta called the Masters. Did you watch much of it today?
It's one of those days where you just enjoy working from a home office, which I do. So the next 2 days, I'm going to spend a lot of time in front of the TV with a laptop somewhere kind of in front of me.
Yeah, nope. You've got to telecommute with the best of them, but you got to make sure that you're productive because otherwise they'll give you grief, won't they?
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk a little bit of the Masters, but really, Sloppy, I want to talk a little bit more in depth on the whole betting golf because I really don't bet golf that much, and I'm a firm believer if you don't know what you're doing, you should ask someone that does. So when you're going into the Masters this year, what were you looking at from a gambling standpoint?
From a gambling standpoint, I mean, the one thing you get with a Masters or any golf tournament, you actually get odds on it. And you can make some pretty good money on even some of the favorites who go off at 5-1, 6-1. So you want to see who's playing well, who's on a hot streak. And I'm pretty sure that actually just continued today into the first round of the Masters of who's hot and who's not.
In terms of the leader after day one, Jordan Spieth is his last name?
Jordan Spieth, yeah, he's a 21-year-old.
What were his odds yesterday?
Yesterday he went off at 8-1. He opened at 8-1, and it just shows how quickly things can change, even though technically he only has a 3-stroke lead, but now he's down to 9-5. I think you got it at even money on your book. So, I mean, yeah, it's how quickly things can change in golf, going from 8-1 to 1-1. And you still have three rounds of golf to play, and that's the tough part.
Right. At 8-1, where was he on the board? Was he elite?
He was second overall. I mean, so you could have walked in for the $100 on who you thought was the favorite in him and make a nice little payday on it.
Yeah. Now, we're talking Thursday night. Again, we've got Sloppy covering the Masters and golf gambling in general on the Cali Comfort Barbecue Hotline. What I want to ask you is, because I've done some bets on golf, but I would always bet it at the beginning of the tournament. How important is it if you made a bet at the beginning of the tournament to maybe do something again once they make the cut? Now, when will they know when the cut is?
The cut is after the second round, and it varies in certain events. It's either the top 70 golfers and ties go on, or it's 10 strokes from the leader. So it varies from tournament to tournament. But after the second round, that's when the cuts develop, and then the final list of players finish out two more rounds. So.
And, of course, if I bet on someone who doesn't make the cut, I just take that paper and tear it up.
Exactly. So if your guy does not make the cut, he's pretty much out of the tournament and has no chance to win it. So the good thing and fun thing about golf is that the next day, these odds have changed completely. So that guy who was, take Bubba Watson for instance, he went off at 11-1, which was third overall favorite going into the Masters. Bubba's only 6 strokes, 7 strokes off the lead, and now you can get 25-1 on him.
Right.
So that's where I think today is a good golf betting day, because once the cut gets established, the strokes get closer together in the end, those odds get a lot smaller on who's going to win.
And so they will have odds for every day.
Yes.
So you could literally bet 4 days of the Masters. You can bet all 4 days.
Absolutely. So basically I took my opening day. I really liked Jason Day. So I took Jason Day as my guy, and then I'm going to see where he is. And if he's in the top couple, maybe just do a couple smaller hedging with some guys that are close to him. But maybe by the end of the day, I've made 4 bets, and now I got 4 guys in the top 10 that give me a shot.
Exactly. And that definitely would make that Sunday afternoon interesting. There's no doubt about it.
Makes it amazing. And then the good thing about the Masters is everybody that's still in it, I think there's 30 players under par right now, they're all the big names. So when it comes down to the end, that leaderboard is star-studded to watch.
Now, the thing that confuses me a little bit is I can make a play tomorrow morning when I wake up at the sports book, and if that guy doesn't have a good day, he may not even make it till Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's the risk you're taking right now, is that your players aren't guaranteed to finish this tournament. I mean, you have some guys that probably, you know, the scores are low enough, they'll probably end up getting through to the next round. But, yeah, it's very, very possible if you took, say, a Rory McIlroy, which is one under right now, bet him tonight, which you're getting a better odds than you would have when he opened, that that's 6-1, now you're getting 10-1. He may shoot +3, next thing you know, 3 is the cut, and he doesn't make it by. So it's
right.
possible he's not there for the weekend.
But it totally makes sense on the odds, because if you have half as many golfers, you're not going to get outliers.
You're not going to get the good odds, absolutely. So once
right,
they cut
right.
it in half, then those odds start getting close. That's why this was a good day, because you could kind of see how they're going to play it, how the course is playing. They go off at night, they go off in the morning the following day, and vice versa. So it's a fun day to see, and you can actually make good money doing stuff on this day.
All right, so now here's what we're going to do. We're going to put on our prognosticator hat and kind of say, all right, it's Saturday morning. What do you think happens tomorrow?
I think by Saturday morning, I think this is going to end up being a two-horse race, and this is just me from watching the golf tournament and who I think is playing well. I think Jordan Spieth and Jason Day are going to be two guys that you will see till the very bitter end of this, and I think maybe they start to separate themselves and then have a middle of the pack of everybody around threes and fours, and those guys are around the 10. So that's kind of what I see going into the weekend.
And in golf, are there any other wagers you can play? I know that on the final round, a lot of times, to generate, you know, revenue for the sports book, they'll do those matchups.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely lots of things you can do in it, because there's matchups, there's what the final score is going to be. I think, was Tiger going to make the cut at the Masters? I think ended up, -250, somewhere around there, if he was going to make it or not. Me too, we're getting great odds on it, but he's right in the wheelhouse there trying to make it through the weekend.
So they do, for lack of a better term, they do golf props, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Basically, you're going to just see it like scores. Jordan Spieth, second round score, over, under, 70.5, you're getting paid 1-1 or 10-13, and you can do that for golfers and odds to win at this point. And just, there's a little bit of everything you can do for props, absolutely. Like tomorrow they have Tiger Woods over under 73, meaning they think he'll end up +1 on the day.
Now, for you, are the majors more interesting to wager because there is so much more involved than just, you know, the big check and the Silver Cup? Or do you find some of the smaller tournaments that some of the big players may skip are a little easier to wager, or have you not noticed the difference between the two?
No, there's actually a couple tournaments where maybe you'll see a difference, and it kind of goes to that golfing pool that I do. You use two golfers every weekend. It's an eliminator golfer pool. You can't use them again. I'm saving Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker for the John Deere Classic, which is the week before the British Open, that nobody plays in. So these two just dominate in it. So there's definitely tournaments that actually have those guys that sit out, and there's the guys that usually win those tournaments. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely look forward to. But also, I mean, the majors are where it's at. That's where all the money is. That's where the big-time players step up. And you get a lot more coverage via TV and ESPN from it.
Oh, it's the first thing, you know, it's the first thing you hear about if a golfer dies. You know, and then the second thing is how many tournaments they won in their career. But it's definitely in the majors. The majors are what it's about in terms of gaining the respect, I think, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so if we were going to look at one outside your two, one player that just, you know, gets a second wind and, you know, gives you at least a shot, my family laughs at me all the time, Sloppy, because that's all I want is a shot. I just want my horse to be there in the stretch. I want my team to have the ball with a chance to cover. You know, I'm not asking for winning, you know, every single bet. I just want to have a shot. Give me one name that, you know, double digits, that you would say, because with this, like you said, you're talking about names. I know these names. I'm looking at the sheet. I know these names, and I don't know a lot of golf names. One player that's outside
your top two guys that you think is worth a shot if the board is open Saturday morning and you want to go
play. I mean, if at the odds you're getting on this guy who's won two of the last three Masters, Bubba Watson, you're getting 25-1. The way he plays that course, he's one of the longest hitters, and if these greens stay the way they are, he can make a very quick comeback and come right back and win this tournament in the weekend. Especially since he's won two of the last three. He knows this course and is very confident on this course. So Bubba Watson at 25-1 tonight, great odds.
There you go. All right, so we'll check on that. And Saturday morning when we do this show, I'll make sure and update everything. As always, Sloppy, we appreciate all your efforts, and good luck with your wagers.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Okay. And as we know, that was after day one. After day two, Justin took off and actually set the record with a huge, huge first 36 holes. So when we listen to Sloppy's call, what we've got is three names. Bubba Watson, he's off at 9:45 Eastern, 12:45 Eastern, 9:45 our time, so you could still get action in it. They've got him coupled in the one-on-one matchups with McIlroy, and he's plus 110. Jason Day is minus 110 in his coupling, and he is facing Adam Scott, and then that goes off at 1:45 Eastern, 10:45 Pacific, and then at 2:55 Eastern, which of course is 11:55 Pacific, you've got the leader, and I think the guy that is chasing him, which is Charlie Hoffman, Jordan Spieth is minus 210, so he's minus 210 for today against Charlie Hoffman, so if he extends that lead by even a stroke, then you can cash at minus 210. All right, so we're going to slide over with the time we've got left and listen to the call we had with Tommy discussing the run lines. I'm looking at the morning line, and when we're done with this call, we're going to learn a little bit more about what it takes to win money when you've got the dominant, and we're going to go ahead and then talk about three of the games that are live today. All right, so we're going out now to the Westgate Las Vegas hotline. Now, of course, the Westgate is home of the Super Contest, and we'll have some upcoming exciting information on that once we get closer to football season. But we've got Tommy, our Inner Circle member, Tommy, on the line. Tommy, how are you?
I am living the dream. How's
yeah, well, you know what?
There, Chaz?
When you're in San Diego, Tommy, it's a little easier to live the dream than for other people.
That is true.
Now, I talked with you earlier, and I reminded you that the way you wager is definitely different than most people because you can get six or eight bets in one game, you know, very similar to our sixbestagame.com philosophy. But last week, if you listened to the show, and you didn't even realize that, you technically gave out four winners because if you've got somebody out there that hears Duke in the over and Wisconsin in the over, they're, if they're a novice, Tommy, they're not going up and asking what the first half line is. They don't even usually know there's a first half. And how many people have you met over the years where you mentioned that and they don't even know it's an option?
Oh, there's plenty, believe
me. Yeah. And so, bottom line is, for those people that listen, you hit them a four-teamer, so congratulations. Now, of course, doesn't necessarily mean you cashed, but again, giving is better than receiving sometimes, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah. So we were going to talk a little bit today about baseball. Baseball season started up. It's pretty exciting. But you have a different way of looking at baseball. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I usually just strictly play run-line parlays. And what I like to look for is a power pitcher like a Kershaw or a Porcello against a bad team, and the run line is always minus 1.5. So basically you have to have Kershaw win by 1.5 and your other pitcher win by 1.5. So basically you have to win by 2 runs. But you could usually get 4-1 on the 2-team parlay, which, you know, I'll take all day long, and I'm sure most people that bet sports would take, you know, a a 4-1 on a 2-teamer when normally it only pays 13-5.
Right. Roughly 2.5-1.
Exactly.
So that's not doubling your winnings, but pretty darn close. And the logic is simple. These teams are paying more for your dollar because they have to win by more. So it's one of the few times that there literally is what you would call a point spread.
Yes, and it's the only baseball when you have to bet so much money when it's a good pitcher like a Kershaw, you're usually given 4-1. Or you're laying $500 to win 100 if you're betting Kershaw straight up. So you take the run line pool, and that evens things out a lot.
I remember talking about that on the Mo Radio Show last year, and there were times where he was -375, -425, which means that you're gonna give them that much to get just 100 back.
That's right.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Now, when you look at the pitchers you're talking about, the best pitchers. What happens
exactly
when they line up? What happens when they line up, Tommy? And a great pitcher is pitching against a great pitcher.
Then you take the better pitcher. And you also consider the lineup that they're going against, and you also consider where the game's being played. Like, if Kershaw's pitching in Dodger Stadium, that's notoriously, a pitcher-friendly ballpark. It's hard to hit the ball out of Dodger Stadium. Same thing with Petco Park in San Diego. It's, it's where home runs go to die. So you get a good pitcher at Petco or at Dodger Stadium or pretty much all the teams in the National League West have big ballparks, except for the Diamondbacks. You can hit home runs there. But AT&T Park in San Francisco is also, it's another yard that's hard to hit home runs. I mean, the power alleys are 400 feet.
Right.
With 30-foot high walls. It's hard to hit homers there. So you take a strikeout pitcher, a good pitcher like Kershaw, even against the best pitcher on the Giants, which would probably be Matt Cain, and Kershaw's still going to be favored. But if you take if you give the 1.5 runs up, you're going to be getting plus. Anytime you get plus with Kershaw or a Porcello or a Verlander when he's on, you take that every single time.
So when I've got an ace pitching at home, it's going to be crazy upside-down money for me to win $100. But when they're on the road, approximately, I know it depends on the scenario, but approximately how far does that go down?
It doesn't go down as much as you would think. Because, it's not the same kind of home and away advantage that the other sports have, basketball and hockey are probably the two best. But, football, some teams play a lot better at home. But baseball, it's not as big as you would say. The spread is never that much. I mean, more. If you follow what I'm saying, you're maybe 15 games over 500 at home. You're having a good season. You play 81 home games, so if you win 50 of them, you did really well. And that would make you 29 games over 500 at home.
Right. Now you're kind of faded away on us on that last one. I'm not sure if your phone's having reception issues, but you were clear as a bell, and then we lost you a little bit.
I'm driving through a valley. I'm sorry.
There you go. So what you're saying is that you would think that the pitching home, pitching away would mean more to the line, but it really doesn't. You don't get that much of a benefit.
No, you don't. And the one thing about baseball is the very worst team can beat the very best team on any night. Just look what happened to Kershaw in the playoffs last year. He got smoked in both his starts. I mean, just drilled. in both his starts. He gave up 9 runs in 1 inning.
Yep.
You know, and this is a guy that's just, he's ridiculous. I mean, he's going to end up winning another Cy Young this year. And you know, but, you know, everybody has a bad outing every now and then.
Right.
And that's when you're playing these, you know, these really good pitchers, and you're playing them straight up, and you're giving, you know, 400, you're playing 400 to win 100, you know, and all of a sudden they could be out of the game in the third inning, and you got to, okay, now you're betting on the bullpen, you know. And they're obviously,
and it doesn't matter, right? Because in baseball, once he throws a pitch, he's the starting pitcher.
That's right. That's right.
I know that sometimes they must start, or the bet part of the parlay goes away. It becomes a straight bet.
Almost all the time, the starting pitcher that they list must start.
Right.
For the bet to be considered legit.
All right, so we're on the Westgate Las Vegas Hotline. And remember, the Westgate is home for the Super Contest. We're really excited about an announcement we'll have later in the summer regarding Sports Betting Weekly and the Super Contest. But we've got Tommy on. Tommy, you're talking run lines with baseball, and I'm going to try to recap for people that maybe don't do this. What you're saying is you're looking for a good to great pitcher against maybe an inferior team, and they have to win by 2 runs, so it's one of those few times in baseball that you literally do have a point spread, but the point spread seems to be the same for all the games, and that's -1.5. So they have to win 2-0, 3-1, you know, 17-0 works, of course, but if they win, they have to win by at least 2, otherwise you lose the whole parlay.
That's right. And another way to get an extra pen out of it is to play it over or under. With the good pitchers in a big ballpark, you can play an under, you know, and you hope that they win 3-1 or 2-0.
Are you running errands where you went through the tunnel and now you're coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so when I look at those same, if I take those same scenarios, same exact guys, and I bet just that they have to win. They don't have to win by 1.5 runs. It's not called a run parlay. It's just a 2-team parlay.
Exactly.
What is that going to get me for every dollar I bet?
Well, it depends on the odds.
Right, but right, but if we establish that we've got a couple pitchers, they're going to be at least -200. So if I was betting straight, I'd have to lay 200 to win 100. You would think that if you bet them together, you would do better, but you really don't do that much better, do you?
No, it's not. It's not that much better. I mean, if you bet 100 on 2 dominant pitchers, in a parlay, you're not going to get 13-5 like you would get on a normal parlay.
Right.
You might get even money.
Right. And sometimes less, actually.
Yeah. And so that, to me, is not a good bet.
Well, no, if you're betting $100, 2 teams have to win, and you're getting $86 plus your 100 back, it doesn't seem like the reward is worth the risk.
No, you want to look elsewhere.
Right. And that's really a big part of everything we do, whether it's betting, you know, the first half of a March Madness game or the second half of a football game or an over or an under. We talk about the house advantage, Tommy, and how they've set it up. They've got the math down to a science. It's very difficult for them to lose. You have to really find these opportunities. And I think if you go all season and you can find those pitchers, as you mentioned, you know, the Kershaw is one of them for sure, but every year there's a handful of pitchers that just dominate, and they're the best player on the field when their team pitches, and of course with pitchers, they only pitch every 3 or 4 days. So it's not like...
Every fifth day,
right. So it's not like you can do that every single time. So you've got to pay attention, you've got to look at the stats of the pitcher. So I'm going to ask you one final question. In terms of isolating these pitchers, sure, we all know the names, but this year there's going to be a handful of them that we've never heard of before, and they're going to come out and have great years. It happens every single season. So what do we look for? Am I looking for ERA? Am I looking for strikeouts? Am I looking for just their win-loss ratio? What am I looking for to find me a pitcher that no one knew was on the horizon and I can hit some money line parlays with them?
You're going to look for, the first thing you're going to look for is wins, because the first thing they're going to do is win. And then you want to look for the ERA. If Kershaw is, under one or under 1.5 ERA, odds are over 9 innings, you can hold them to under 2 runs. So the Dodgers just have to score 4 runs for you to win the game.
Yeah, and it really is. We're losing you a little again, so we're gonna let you go. But it really is quite simple. If you can find a team that scored 4 runs a game and a pitcher that's given up 2, that's a pretty good opportunity to win a run parlay.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
More selective in baseball. That's all.
Yeah. But you also, as you've mentioned before, you got a lot more choices to make too, because there's a lot of games, and every day you've got pitchers that are out of whack with their rotation. So you got starters that are the number one and number two starters going against guys who maybe are just filling a spot, and they're coming out of the middle of the rotation to make a spot start.
That's right.
All right, Tommy, as always, your incentive and your insight is exciting, and we're looking to cash some tickets, and we're definitely going to take this into account when we look at our Major League Baseball. We'll talk to you next time.
Anytime, buddy.
And again, like we do when we listen to Billy, we kind of have to translate. So Tommy didn't really give us any plays today, but if you look at the board tonight, the West, the National League West, which is the one division that he mentioned, are playing each other. So he said Arizona's got a big ballpark. Well, guess what? Kershaw's on the mound. He's minus 230, but if you take him on the run line, it drops to 140. And again, you would think it'd be a little easier for the Dodgers to score some runs with that offense and Adrian Gonzalez on it here in that ballpark. And right here in San Diego, you've got another guy on the mound. You might have heard his name last year a little during the playoffs. His name is Bumgarner. Well, bottom line is he's minus 105 on the road, but minus 1.5 on the run line, he's plus 155. So if you just take what Tommy said, he didn't give you any picks, but if you listen to what he said and you translate it, if you do that parlay with those two pitchers, you take Kershaw and you take Bumgarner, it's 1.8-1. So you get $180 if you bet 100. You take those same two pitchers on the run line, and all of a sudden now it's 3.5-1. For $100, you win $350. Or for $10, you win $35. So that's kind of what we did today. It really was. If you have traffic school this weekend, you're going to learn a lot more. Listen to this podcast on sportsbettingweekly.com or sportsbettingweeklylive.com than you're going to listen to comedy traffic school.com. So as always, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great, great weekend wagering, and always be cash. And I'm Second Half Jazz.